Welcome to Onceable, Hypable's Once Upon a Time podcast. And today I have with me, and I'm Jen, by the way, I have with me Laura, Karen, and as a guest host, we have Tariq from the Sorkin series and from Vampire Hype. Because Selena is working on her dissertation at the moment for college, so she can't be with us this week. And we wish her the best of luck with all that fun stuff. But welcome, guys. I know there's so much to discuss this week. There's so many exciting things. But before we get to the really exciting stuff, let's go through our contact information. You can reach us at Onceable, O-N-C-E-A-B-L-E, at Hypable, H-Y-P-A-B-L-E.com. Try saying that 5 times fast. And you can follow us on Twitter at Once Upon News, where Selena posts all the fantastic news coming out. And you can always leave comments in any of our Once Upon a Time posts on Hypable, and we read all of them, so we always find your comments really good. And we use them sometimes in the show to move along discussion and in our listener feedback section. So this week, we have a lot of really cool new stuff out. There's a lot of new characters, and there was a brand new interview with Emma, or Jennifer Morrison, who plays Emma. And then we also have the trailer, which is really an interesting trailer. Did you guys all see the trailer?
Yep.
Yeah, it looked so epic.
It does. Like, there's a couple of parts that I'm a little confused about, though. So we all watch the trailer. We see it. You know, there's the purple smoke. There's everyone realizing who they are. Henry, at one point, is with David quite a bit. And you see Dr. Whale confronting Regina with, like, an angry mob. So who is Dr. Whale? Why is he... Like, I always thought that Dr. Whale was going to be on Regina's side for some reason. In my mind, he and Regina were cohorts in this whole mess. But he's confronting her like he's really angry because he's remembered who he is.
That name, like, Dr... I think a lot of people were thinking that maybe he was the whale involved in the Pinocchio tale, but that would make him, you know, an animal, so... You're kind of, I mean, sort of like the same way that Jiminy Cricket is a person, but also an animal. Maybe there's something to do there, but I don't know. I'm a little lost. I mean, just the name Dr. Whale, I mean, it's a fish. Do we know any, I don't know, is there another tale with fish in it somewhere?
Unless he's part of the Little Mermaid somehow, but I don't know who he would be.
A friend and I gave up a really good idea at work today, or yesterday, and she was like, I don't think he's the whale because... He never had a human form. We have Jiminy because he was a cricket, but he was originally human, and he was a cricket then. And so, because the whale in Pinocchio never turned into a human, we have the theory that it can't be him, but we can't figure out who it would be otherwise.
It's funny, I've been rewatching too. Like, I bought the box set, Karen. Like, so on your recommendation, I went out and I bought the box set of the DVDs, and I've been going through and I've been watching a whole bunch of them every day. And it's funny because... I guess I didn't realize as I was going through this series how much he's really in there. Like, for some reason in my mind, I only kind of remembered him on, like, that wonky one date originally with Mary Margaret, and then I remembered him at the end with Henry. But in looking at it, he's in there a lot more. It like, subtly interwoven. I didn't realize that going through. So I think he's definitely got more to say if he was in there so much.
On Twitter this week, David Anders, who plays Dr. Whale, put out a tweet saying, I know who I am as a character in Storybrooke. No one's ever guessed. So what do you guys think about that? He's putting it out there. He's on Twitter saying, hey, guys, yes, I know who I am. And none of you are correct.
His last name has to be a total red herring at this point. I think they probably did this on purpose just to trick us, but I'm really starting to believe that he's got to be somebody totally different. And who knows, maybe his name has nothing to do with his character.
Yeah, I mean, I think this whole team is so tapped into online community and fandom. Like, I feel like some of that has to rub off onto the cast. You know, even if they haven't been into, like, fandom and online stuff, that whole creative team behind the series. Like, I go back to Lost, and they were one of the very, very first shows that I remember. They used to actually have an online forum where they used to talk with people all the time. Obviously, that predates Twitter and all of that. And that was, like, very, very revolutionary for the time. I remember, like, posting and talking with Andrea Gabriel, who was on Lost, and Terry Quinn, who was on Lost. So I have a feeling he is probably pretty knowledgeable about fandom and wouldn't be saying nobody got it right if that wasn't in fact true.
Yeah, and going back to what you guys were saying before about how he always seemed like he was on Regina's side, which I totally agree with, and even episode of season one, when Henry sort of, you see Regina turn to Dr. Whale and he's hugging her, and now, you know, you see him like shouting at Regina in those promo pictures and stuff, and you got to wonder what happened in between to make such a big difference in their relationship.
Well, I think the only thing that's happened is just that he realizes who he is, and so I think naturally, I mean, regardless of if you were on Regina's side or not, if you finally remembered who you are, you'd got to be really angry for your entire life to be entirely taken away from you. So maybe he is on Regina's side eventually, and he's just kind of getting over this, what did you do to me, you know? So that's what I was thinking.
I can't remember her name now in the present day. The one who was supposedly David's wife, but it wasn't really his wife. King Midas's daughter. Right. Catherine, that's it, Catherine. And it's like she and Regina have a great relationship, but I don't feel like she's on Regina's side. I just feel like Regina, if nothing else, is incredibly manipulative. So I'm wondering if maybe Regina just was able to manipulate Dr. Whale really well, you know, saying things like, oh, you know, this, you know, Emma Swan person, you know, she comes from a shady past. We got to look out for her and know that she did all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Like, so I don't know. I think maybe he could easily have been manipulated by Regina and is really maybe mad because that's what happened.
Moving on from that. So for the season one finale, I'll just do a quick recap so everyone kind of refreshes their memory of what happened, and then we'll discuss. So in the season one finale, we have Henry eating the poisoned apple tart that Regina made for Emma and falling ill. And Dr. Whale says, there's nothing I can do to save him. And I don't know what's wrong with him. There's nothing I can do. So Emma finally realizes and starts to believe in magic. She kind of has a flash and sees what's going on. So she and Regina, after having a fight, decide that they're going to join sides to save Henry because that's the one thing they both care about. So they both go to Mr. Gold / Rumpelstiltskin and ask him if there's anything that they can do. And Rumpel says, well, actually, I saved up some magic from when we were in Fairy Tale World. But I made Charming put it in the belly of Maleficent's dragon. And the only person that can go down and get it is Emma with her father's sword. So Emma kind of goes on this epic adventure down into the bowels of the town to fight Maleficent the dragon. She fights her, defeats her, gets the potion, brings it back to Mr. Gold, who then strands Regina and Emma and takes off with the potion because it's not really what he says it was. So Regina and Emma go back to the hospital where Henry essentially passes away and dies, but Emma kisses Henry and that's considered true love's kiss and he lives. Meanwhile, Mr. Gold heads off into the forest, and on the forest he's well because Jefferson has released Belle from from Regina's prison in the mental hospital place that we see every now and then. So Jefferson goes in and releases Belle, knowing that this will change things if he releases her. We're not really sure what his plan was or all of his reasons, but he definitely knew that it would affect Rumpel by releasing Belle. And how he knew Belle was even there is a whole other big question. So Belle runs into Rumpel, they reunite, and even though Rumpelstiltskin's happy to see her, he still has his mission of releasing the big purple smoke monster. And at the very end, we see that everyone realizes who they really are. And that's kind of how the season ends. After the big purple smoke cloud blows through town, we have everyone remembering who they were. And that's kind of where we're left off. There are a couple interesting things to talk about, I think, from that season finale. One, Jefferson's appearance and his knowledge of Regina's, what she's doing. Because Jefferson was always someone who wasn't affected by the curse, but he was still in Storybrooke.
He's definitely a wild card, and he was the only one who knew who he was other than Regina and Rumpel. And I'm really interested to see now that his daughter knows who she is, like how that whole reunion's going to play out. Because that's essentially why he was going after Regina's, because he wanted to get closer to his daughter.
The one thing I noticed in that season finale, because I just recently rewatched it, at one point Jefferson looks at Regina and says, "I want you to rewrite my story," considering we have a book of written fairy tales. So does Regina and the curse have some play into how the stories are being written in the books? I mean, we saw August change the book, but can anyone else do it? Is it Regina's book? Where did it, you know what I mean? I thought that was such an interesting statement that he wanted his story rewritten.
Yeah, like who's the primary author who gets to edit it? It's interesting. Like I always, with Jefferson, he's obviously the only other person other than Mr. Gold who has any kind of real absolute connection to the past. I mean, obviously Gold has been pretending but to know things, but Jefferson, it's like what is it about him that he was able to retain that information? Like, is it down to the hat? Is it that he, you know, to me, like when he goes to Wonderland, like there's the magical kingdom that they all came from, and then there's this Wonderland, which is to me like another dimension of magic. Is it because he was doing a magical leap within magic that he can remember things, but it's kind of, you know, misfiring in his brain? I don't know.
I haven't rewatched the season, so this could be totally wrong, but wasn't that part of his punishment from Regina, is that he would know his daughter, but his daughter wouldn't know him?
That sounds right, actually.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, exactly. His house was his prison, and he could see her every single day, but he wasn't allowed to leave the house or do anything.
And again, it always goes back to the question, what did he do? Like, I feel like we need more of Jefferson's storyline to connect these dots, because clearly he did something that earned him a different kind of punishment than everybody else. So it had to be something big. And in the end, he ends up defying Regina even more, because he goes and releases Belle and sets off a whole nother set of, like, cause and effect there for them, because Rumpel isn't going to be pleased when he finds out that Regina had Belle the entire time.
I would say, I don't know, I could be totally alone on this, but I was actually pretty underwhelmed by the finale. Thought everything moved really fast. And I think part of that is that I had this idea in my head of where I wanted it to go, and it didn't go there, so I'm just kind of mad that it didn't. But I really would have liked to have seen Emma having to deal with the truth a few episodes before the curse was actually broken, and, you know, living with this knowledge and not being able to talk to anybody about it. And then just the whole thing, like, just seemed to move really fast for me. Did you guys feel like that at all?
I completely agree. Like, when they broke the curse on the season finale, a bit of me was like, oh, well, okay. I wonder what season two is going to be now. But then I remember reading an interview from the showrunner saying that they never wanted this entire show or most of the show to be about breaking the curse, and that they always knew that they wanted to break the curse really early so that they can explore more of the fairy tale characters. So as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, I guess that makes a lot of sense. But I agree with you. It would have been really cooler to see Emma struggle with this knowledge before everything kind of went and got revealed.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I think the only characters that you got that, oh my God, it's you, was with David and Mary Margaret, which thank God, because I think people just would have been screaming if they didn't get some sort of acknowledgement that way. And I feel like the only other acknowledgement you really got, I mean, obviously Belle came into being, but she has like amnesia and doesn't quite understand who he is. But I really liked the nun who's really the blue fairy, you know, confronting Regina and says, you've got a lot of people to answer to. And we all remember, it was just nice kind of seeing the blue fairy turn vicious. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think it'll be really fun to see, because again, we see this mob after Regina in the first episode. Regina's powerful. So yes, you could be a mob confronting her, but how do you defeat her and her power? I mean, you've given her back everything she needed to be in control by giving her back her power. So it'll be really interesting to see how they handle that.
For season two, we find out that we're going to see how Regina discovers magic, and it kind of comes into thought where, well, wait, you can discover magic. It's not something that you're born with, or it's not something that, like, is hereditary. So it makes me think, what if maybe somehow Emma discovers magic? I don't know, because this whole magic thing is really kind of tricky, because Rumpelstiltskin wasn't born with magic. He had to kill someone, and then he got magic. So I'm thinking maybe at some point Emma's going to get her own form of magic, but yeah, that's like a whole other discussion.
Yeah, there's that whole theme that goes through it about all magic comes at a price. I mean, Rumpelstiltskin even says that to Regina at one point. You better than anyone should know that all magic comes at a price. So yeah, like what is the price that each of them has paid to get that magic? That's going to be an interesting theme. I think I also feel like a lot of the conflict in season two, because they've kind of opened it up. I forget where I read this online, but they were saying there's going to be almost three distinct points of view, which again reminds me a little bit of Lost, where they were having the flash sideways, as they were calling them, and flash forwards. That, like, there's the point of view of, okay, we're in Storybrooke now, the curse has been broken, like, are people confronting Regina, what are they doing? There are still the flashbacks to the magical world before Regina brought the curse down upon everybody. And then there's also the point of view of what their life was like in Storybrooke before Emma showed up. So I feel like we're going to get a lot of, like, tension of different kinds in each one of those three very unique areas.
It'll be really interesting to see how they do it, knowing that we've seen other things from them that had all these kinds of points of views in all these different areas. So I'm really excited for season two to see what comes and to see how it plays out, because there's so many questions that we need answers to, and there's so many places it could go next, especially with the new characters coming in. And speaking of new characters, we can move into our news section, because again, there was new talk this week about some more new characters that are being added to the storylines. So we have two new characters that were talked about, one named Quinn and one named Anita. And Anita is supposed to be a sorceress who takes in lost souls. And there's not much else known about her. The description kind of reminded me a little bit of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, because she takes in lost souls. She calls them her poor, unfortunate souls. So that kind of connected for me and made me think of her. And then Quinn is someone who's in a family that he's very different from. And when he realizes how different he is, he goes and seeks out people of his own kind. And that's kind of about the description they give on him as well. So we don't have a lot of information on either character to kind of pinpoint where they might belong, but that's kind of what we have. So what do you guys think about those two new additions?
That's exactly who I thought it was. When I read that article, and the second it said something about lost souls, it's like, oh, Ursula, obviously. But then I was also thinking, well, if they have Ursula, I wonder how that's going to play into the Little Mermaid story, because previously, I always thought that it would be Rumpelstiltskin who would make the deal with Ariel to take away her voice, but now maybe if Ursula's there, it's a whole different concept. And I really like the idea. I read in the comments that someone said, speculating that Quinn and Anita are Merlin and Morgana. That's actually really interesting. That would be pretty intriguing to see if that's who they were, too. So many different options. You just have to pick which one you want to believe in.
That is a crazy idea, have them being Merlin and Morgana. I love it, because we already have Lancelot. I absolutely love that idea.
Yeah, I mean, if we got Lancelot, yeah, you got it. I mean, you know, can Guinevere and Merlin be far behind? I mean, it would stand to reason.
I just wanted to say I'd love to see Merlin. I think that would be great.
To me, it also sounds a little bit about, like, the story of the ugly duckling. But again, that's like, you know, it's animals. I don't know that there's a human component of the ugly duckling tale, but the idea of being very different from your family and finding a place to fit in, that does kind of remind me a little bit of, like, the ugly duckling tale.
We're going to have to brush up some more on our obscure fairy tale references, I think.
Yeah, I was definitely just thinking that. I'm like, I have to go through my Grimm's book and just see what there is.
I love that we all have Grimm's books. We're like, oh, let me pull my Grimm's book off the shelf and start flipping through. Fantastic.
So then we get another news source that says episode 2 will be Regina's sick, and it will have flashbacks where we'll be seeing her mother again, Cora, which we really only saw in like a handful of episodes. Was it just one episode that we saw Cora in last season?
I think it was two.
Two. Well, she was not in very many, and so it leaves the question to go, how did that relationship end up, and how she met Rumpelstiltskin for the first time. So it should be really interesting, because she's one of the characters where we haven't really had an entire episode just all around her, specifically about her, she's getting magic. I mean, last time we saw her interaction with Snow, and Snow was very important, but I'm actually really excited for just a Regina-centric episode.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting, especially her very first interaction with Rumpelstiltskin, to see if that's how she discovered magic was through him, and she had to give something up for it, or how it all works out. Because again, I love your point about her discovering magic. What does that mean? Can you discover magic? You don't have to be magical at first. So I think that's a really good point, and it'd be really interesting to see how that plays out in her episode.
I'm also curious to see if she has any redeeming qualities at all. I mean, I think part of what we've seen with both Rumpelstiltskin and Regina is that there was a time when they were both like nice human beings. I mean, flawed, but they were nice human beings. They just weren't out only for themselves and like the pain that they could inflict. But we don't see that with Cora. I mean, she just comes out as completely evil and manipulative, like wanting power for herself and her daughter. I wonder if we'll get more of her story and find out, was she always like this, or was there a time when, you know, she was a nice mother to her daughter, or was she just always this horrible person?
It's very true. We haven't actually had, like, all of the evil characters, we kind of see that there's been something to make them evil. And I think that's the one thing that the show has been missing, is just an evil character just for the sake of being evil. Like, I mean, I understand everyone needs motives kind of to be, but there hasn't been someone that's kind of been born from the start just a horrible person, and we're kind of hoping that'd be Cora, because that'd be interesting.
Okay. So the next item, and this is a big one, I think, in terms of long-term for Once Upon a Time, is what's the future of Belle and Rumpel? Because we kind of saw their episodes, their, you know, their flashbacks. Then at the end, we have them kind of meeting. But Rumpel seems so much more focused on having to release the purple smoke than on the fact that Belle's just walked back into his life. I mean, he handled it kind of differently than I would have expected him to handle it.
I think that, you know, this is Rumpelstiltskin's fatal flaw, is that he cares about power more than anything. And even though he clearly loves Belle, I think that this is going to be something he's going to struggle with for a really long time, which is unfortunate because I really like the two of them together and the effect that Belle has on Rumpel. But yeah, I think this is going to be a major theme, you know, in this season and probably other seasons. I don't think we're going to see him give up his power anytime soon, but it's definitely going to be a struggle there for a while, I think.
I think one thing you should, like, that comes into consideration is when Belle tried kissing Rumpel and he was starting to turn human because it was true love's kiss, he was just really angry about it. And I forgot how, because I don't remember the episode, but he stopped the transformation before he came fully human. It should be interesting because if they're in love, but he doesn't want to kiss her because he doesn't want to be human, I mean, that can't really last that long.
I also feel like we have kind of part of the puzzle missing. Like, we have Belle, who has a serious case of amnesia. You know, she doesn't quite remember who she is. She doesn't quite remember who he is. She just knows that Jefferson is the first person to be kind to her and rescue her from this, you know, insane asylum, and says to her, you know, go find Mr. Gold. Tell him that Regina locked you up. Mr. Gold will protect you. And she doesn't really, I don't think, fully understand more of what's going on. I feel like if it was Belle, with the one we were introduced to, who really understood things very deeply and had a keen mind, I think she might have maybe stopped him from creating the purple smoke, or at least said, wait, what are you doing? What is this going to do? Why would you want to do that? Instead, she's kind of very passive there. So I feel like that's leading into all of this also.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see how all of that plays out. And again, there's all of these questions about who Belle really is. Like, we thought we knew because her name was Belle. But then we have all these other things with, you know, Captain Hook and Smee and everyone coming in. And we've heard rumors about different things going on with Belle. So there's a lot of different thoughts going into who possibly Belle could be as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays into Rumpel and his reaction to her return. And at one point, there's an interview with Ed Kitsis, who is the producer and writer of the show, and he says, you know, Rumpel has always had to choose between power and love, and so far he's always chosen power, we don't know if he's going to continue to choose power. It'll be interesting to see what he learns from his interactions with Bay, his son, and how that worked out, and everything else, and what will happen next for him, and how he will choose between power and love moving forward.
I'm also curious to see who was his wife. You know, who is Bay's mother? Did she leave because she truly ran out on him because she thought he was a coward? Or were there more extenuating circumstances? I'm really curious to see how that all ties into this. And if she ever shows up, and if she does show up, who she is and what's the thread there. And if she does come back, is there now a choice between her and Belle? I don't know.
That actually makes a really good point. Like, who could possibly be Bay's mother? That's really interesting. I haven't thought about that. But that also brings into mind, like, speaking of Bay, when they mentioned that Emma was getting a new love interest, and then Kitsis said in this interview that maybe Bay comes back, maybe those two play in line together. Maybe her new love interest is Bay. I don't know, but that's just my mind running rampant with theories and ideas.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about Bay actually being Henry's father. So it could connect that her new love interest is her old love interest, which would be entertaining. But there's a lot of talk, and we've made this comment a lot of times on here, is at this point, everyone wants Bay to be everybody. We want him to be Jack and the Beanstalk. We want him to be Peter Pan. We want him to be Hook. We want him to be... So that's going to be the big question for this season, I think, is who is Bay, and how does he fit into all of this now? And where has he been? I think that's the biggest question, is no one's really sure where he went and where he's been all this time. So I think that's what we're all kind of looking forward to in a major way for season two.
I have a crack theory on how we're going to know who he is when he comes back, because Emma tells, you know, Henry this big made-up story about how his dad was this firefighter that used to stop in at the diner where she used to work, and they would he would always order pumpkin muffins or something like that. And I think that I think Emma being who she is, the easiest lie to tell is the one that's the closest to the truth. So my crack theory is that some guy's going to show up and order pumpkin muffins or like pumpkin spice coffee or something. And that's going to be like the big symbol that it's Henry's dad. At least that's my crack theory.
I love crack theories.
That.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's not too crack-like, unlike yesterday's theories running around for Doctor Who. That makes sense, because it's easy to keep part of the truth involved. She didn't have to say that he wasn't a nice guy. She just, you know, she made the not nice guy into a firefighter and, you know, made him a hero rather than a villain, but kept the traits of him the same, which I think is totally plausible. I really like that.
Yeah, so watch, he was like an arsonist and not a firefighter.
Well, that would be not so funny. Any fairy tales where people like fire? Anyone? Anyone? No, okay. Okay, so moving on to talking about parents, of course, here we go. We also have a statement about Charming's mom, Ruth, who we saw in only the one episode, and is played by Gabrielle Rose. And Kitsis makes a statement saying, something is going to happen to her, but we can't say what if it's a good or a bad thing. Well, that's not too just kind of... hey, pay attention, something's going on, but we're not going to tell you any information about it. So, do we think something good or bad will happen to Charming's mom, Ruth?
I'm thinking bad. Just because the way Rumpelstiltskin's deals work out, usually in the end, they're not always like 100% to his word. There's always a catch with him. And I feel like maybe that catch might have just... maybe that's why... no. Never mind. I was going to say maybe that's why Rumple has his ring, but Charming has ring and Rumple just charmed it. So, I don't know, but I'm just having a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't anything. I don't know. I think it probably is more bad than good, because that's the way these things tend to roll, but I don't know where it's going.
Because why bring it up at all? If it was something good, would you even, like, hint that something was coming for her, or would you just kind of let it play out at the end? Do you know what I mean? I feel like they're prepping us, saying, well, you know, this lovely woman, this sweet, kind woman who played Charming's mom, well, you know, something's going to happen to her, but I'm not going to tell you if it's good or bad. What's the likelihood that it's actually good in the end if we're being prepped for it? Do you know what I mean? Good usually comes as a happy surprise, and usually they try to prep you for the bad stuff, so...
it's probably bad because she was in Fairy Tale World, which would mean that she would be somewhere in Storybrooke which would also mean that, logically speaking, it would make sense for Charming to want to go look for his mother, just kind of like because the whole family's together, which would then mean that maybe at some point in Fairy Tale World, something terrible happened to her. Because there would be no real reason why Henry's grandma shouldn't be there with him if the whole family's together.
You know, obviously, we get to a point where Charming and Snow are married, and they are ruling the kingdom, and they have overthrown Regina, and we haven't seen that. You know, I mean, obviously, the show opens with that in season one, and then a lot of the rest of season one is all about how Regina is in charge, and she's manipulating people, and she's evil, and everything else. So there's like a chunk of information that we don't have. So I'm wondering if somewhere in that moment where, you know, they're coming together and getting married, like you don't even see his mother in the background there. Like you're wondering what happened to her. And considering we can like go back and we can go back in storybook history, or we can also go back into the magical world's history. I think it'll be an interesting concept as to why was she not at the wedding, or maybe they'll just CGI her in. I don't know.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It's a good point, too. I mean, that's what's really hard about it, is we've only seen the people in Storybrooke that they've wanted us to see. So we don't know who's kind of kicking around Storybrooke that we haven't met yet. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how that all works out. If people were actually in Storybrooke, or if they were only in Fairy Tale World and something happened to them, or if people were scattered outside of Storybrooke after the curse went through.
I had a question, too. How many people are in Storybrooke, and do you guys think that it's a possibility that some of them, that maybe Regina purposely didn't send them to Storybrooke, but to somewhere else in the real world, you know, to keep them out of the way or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know how the curse worked. That's the other thing. We know the curse changed things and moved things around so that Regina would basically be in control again, but without magic. But we don't know the specifics of it. Because we know in Storybrooke, time stood still. Time didn't change. But was that only in Storybrooke? I mean, you can only have so many towns created that where time stands still. So, and it didn't start moving again until Emma came. How many places are like that? Are there more? Is it just Storybrooke? So, again, it raises a lot of questions as to how that worked.
I was just going to say, speaking of, like, time and timelines, if we think about that in relationship to Charming's mother again, I mean, Charming was a twin, and maybe I'm just not remembering this right, she's his biological mother, or she's his adopted mother? I mean, I know there were twin boys, and one ended up with the king, and he got slain, and then the other one was Charming, but is the woman who raised him his biological mother, or was he just the woman Rumpelstiltskin dumped the other baby on?
Wait, are you saying that Rumpelstiltskin gave...
Yeah, because isn't that in the story? Maybe I'm remembering this totally wrong. Didn't Rumpelstiltskin, like, at the point where James's, you know, twin brother is killed, Rumpelstiltskin pops up and says, you know, yeah, I promised you a son, I got you a baby, but there's another one, I'll go get you the other one. So I'm just curious, like, what's the timeline of this happening? And is the woman who raised James is that his real biological mother? Or is that just somebody that Rumpelstiltskin was like, needed a baby, didn't need the extra one, here, you raise the other one? I don't know.
She's the biological mother. The royals were barren, and that's why they took one of the twins.
Okay, so I'm
just... And Rumpelstiltskin is the one who bartered that deal.
Right, so I guess what also is coming up in my mind, again, is timelines and things again. Like, I'm thinking, as the character of Rumpelstiltskin, he brokered this trade that, I mean, just, oh gosh, this is like Doctor Who. Why is this doing this to my brain? Like... If Rumpelstiltskin if Rumpelstiltskin made this trade, so then Rumpelstiltskin's son has to be like 10 years older, maybe 8 years. No, he's got to be like 14 or 15 years older than the baby because of that whole timeline. Do you know what I'm saying? Am I making any sense?
My brain just hurts.
Well, from what I understand, Rumpelstiltskin is very old, and he's lived. The magic keeps him kind of in stasis. It keeps him where he is. So even though he looks the same across everyone's timelines, he's actually, like, 200 years old.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, all right. So, yeah. All right, this is working. It makes sense.
Meanwhile, I'm still confused. So have to analyze.
Yeah, the timeline thing is really kind of crazy in here because the magic changes it. So we can't just think linearly in the world of fairy tale world and storybook, because the magic makes everything change and jump around and stuff. So it's not as easy to figure out as one would think.
Right, and in Storybrooke, they're basically frozen in time. So anybody maybe making that leap over to the world is kind of frozen too, sort of maybe, depending where they are.
Karen actually mentioned something that, like, about all these different towns, like, maybe there's, more than one town. I mean, I don't think that's a possibility, but what that did spark in my mind was how many fairy tale characters can they realistically put in this town? Because it's supposed to be this, like, small town where everyone knows each other. And granted, we still haven't met everyone. But, like, just based on all these plans for all these different characters they want to add, it's starting to get really big. And plus, there's also the whole Mad Hatter's hat showing a whole bunch of different worlds. That then, like, I remember you guys discussing, like, the Wizard of Oz having a green curtain. And, like, there's all this other stuff. Like, how many different fairy tale worlds or lands got caught in this spell? How many different characters can they afford to put in this one town?
Well, here's the other thing. Now that magic is restored, and basically Storybrooke is kind of becoming what Fairy Tale World was, does it make it easier for the others to cross into it and to come to it? Because remember, we saw that whole place with all the doors. Can those doors now be opened and then they can move freely between each other? And that's why we're getting all these new characters?
I think that would be really awesome, and maybe I'm just saying that because I really, really want to see Emma in the Storybrooke or the fairy tale world.
I think it'd be interesting in a twofold kind of way. First, I would love to see what Emma would have been like had she just been raised by Snow and Charming in fairy tale world without the disruption of the curse or anything else, where she was actually a princess. How interesting would that be? Can you imagine Emma as a princess?
Like, no.
It boggles my mind. And then just to see her as she is now in fairy tale world, and how different things are for her comparatively, because it's two very different places. And I mean, just to see Emma have to deal with magic, I think, is going to be really interesting, because she just blocked it for so long. So for her to now have to deal with that, I think will be really interesting.
Okay, so we got a new interview with Jennifer Morrison, who plays Emma in Once Upon a Time. And she, the first part of this says that she likens Emma to Alice from Alice in Wonderland, though she does make a point to say that she's not Alice. But she says that the world's upside down for Emma, her whole world is shaken up, and she's sort of a new being. The other part to this is that Emma's going to be very protective of Henry, and Morrison says that Emma has to find a way to protect her son and her relationships with her family and figure out how to move forward without being so emotionally guarded. We also learn that she is going to have some romance in her life this season, which I'm pretty excited about, though we don't really know who it's going to be. And then the last bit of the interview goes on to say that Morrison says that magic is going to be a long process of discovery for everybody, and that they still need to figure out what magic in the real world means. And she also says that we're going to start to discover the sorts of things that Emma is capable of, and she's going to discover that too. Now, I sort of took that as maybe, like you guys were saying before, maybe Emma is going to learn how to use magic herself, which I think would be really interesting. Did you guys kind of take it like that, or am I just crazy?
No, that's totally what I took from it.
Exactly what you're saying, completely.
And I think at some point she's almost going to have to, in order to be able to keep up with Regina and to defend Henry, that she's going to have to become powerful other than physically powerful. Like, we always see her as this tough person. So to have her have something a little bit more than that, I think it's going to be important for her to be able to protect Henry and face off against Regina.
Exactly. There's only so much that one can do to physically fight off an evil queen with a whole bunch of magic powers. But really, at some point, that magic is going to take a huge part. And you have to have your own kind of magic. And now, whether that's like the ability to wield magic items, maybe, that normal people don't get to wield, like the sword and the stone, maybe, or something. Or if that's actually if she gets magic imbued into her body somehow. But there's no chance in hell that she's going to be able to win a fight against Regina without being at least somewhat magical at some point, or having something magical.
Right, yeah, I agree. And what do you guys think, who do you think her person of interest for this romance storyline is going to be?
Can it be Graham? Can it please be Graham?
No, Graham is not coming back. But the Huntsman himself may return, but not Graham. Which is sad, because I loved Graham.
I wonder if they're going to set up, again, kind of realizing these are the guys who produced Lost, your love triangle or quadrangle. Like, I have a feeling that might be more their speed, that they're not just going to give her a love interest, that it's going to be more complicated than that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are leaning toward August. I think a lot of people want to see them together.
Will August come back now that, I mean, because last we saw him, he got fully turned into wood. But now that the spell's back, do you guys think that he's going to become a human again?
I really hope so. I liked August a lot. I think he added to the storyline and was really interesting. And it's interesting that he's the one that came through with Emma and he feels like he owes her because he didn't follow through with what he was supposed to do.
I totally just thought of a crack theory.
I love crack theories. Go!
Okay, so we get this point that, like, the seeing what Emma is capable of, and then we got that whole magic thing, and maybe she's the one that brings Pinocchio back from being a boy, or from being wood, into a real man. Maybe she's the one that, like, brings him back to life, and then that sparks some sort of, like, love interest between them, and then...
I love that, because I don't want it a man now. Like, I want it to be a little more complicated, and Emma has to figure out how to bring him back from being this wooden person.
We could have that with August. Then we could have, you know, we have all these other characters coming into town. We have Lancelot. We have all of these people. So there's so many to choose from.
What about the idea of, like, her interacting with princes or, like, fairy tale characters that are, like, designed to, like, have a partner that we already know, like, the story, and they have, like, someone they love, but, like, because it's the real world, things get messed up, and, like, she starts, like, flirting, or, like, going with someone who already has, like, a girlfriend or something, I don't know. That's another crack theory.
I'm also wondering what happens to everything in Mr. Gold's shop, now that everybody knows who they are. Like, what made me think of that was the fact that, Pinocchio's parents are sitting on the shelf as wooden dolls in Mr. Gold's shop. Now, I don't think they're going to be released from that and turned back human, but I don't know. Maybe they would. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff in that shop. So what happens to everything in Mr. Gold's shop now?
Maybe they're all just going to go looting.
Yeah, because some of the stuff in there is like charmed smaller versions and is like symbolic. Like the windmill that's in there looks like what was David's house back then, but and other things are like the actual real item, like the wooden dolls or the real wooden dolls. So what becomes of the items in the shop, I wonder?
See, I'm wondering if the items in the shop, now that there's no curse, are like a beacon to the other characters that he's taken them from, and that's why they start coming to Storybrooke. You know what I mean? They call to them, and now they know where to find them.
It's like a where the curse signal. Kind of.
Well, yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like, the curse kind of separated all of that. They separated them completely from the fairy tale world. But now that there is no curse, and they're now, again, kind of part of the fairy tale world, do they all come looking for gold to get their things back, to get repayment, or whatever it is that they have that are connected to them in that shop?
I hope he has a good alarm system.
It's actually, like, speaking of, like, Captain Hook and, like, it being a beacon totally, like, makes sense because, like, otherwise how would he have known that that was where his hook would be? Like, I mean, like, granted, kind of logic a little bit because you have this shop where all these random items are and you're a fairy tale character and you're like, oh, well, maybe that's where it is. But, like, what if they're calling their owners back? And, like, I love that idea. That's perfect.
Yeah, I really like that, too.
And thinking about, you know, something that wasn't really addressed, and maybe this is a lot to do with, you know, the purple smoke and everything. Well, I mean, the Blue Fairy does say to Regina, Madam Mayor, we know who you are. We remember. You'd better run. You'd better leave. Well, I mean, on the scale of having horrible things done to people or making a deal with the devil, I bet you there are just as many people who really hate Rumpelstiltskin on the same level that they hate Regina. So does, you know, he's going to be being pursued also by people who are probably incredibly unhappy with the deal with the devil that they made. So that'll be interesting too.
So many theories, so little time.
Yeah. The angry mob rushes Mr. Gold's shop.
To get back all their trinkets.
So last time we asked you guys if the Huntsman should return to Once Upon a Time, since we learned that Jamie Dornan could be back for season two. Only about 8% of you guys said dead is dead. 44% of you said yes, but only to add to the backstory of other characters. And unsurprisingly, 48% of you said yes, there needs to be more Huntsmen on the show.
Interesting. We'll have to see what happens in season two if we get any more Huntsmen back.
I really hope we do. He was like my favorite like male character.
I think he was a lot of our favorite male characters. he was great. Well, it's actually kind of funny because I feel like, well, no, we do have more male characters, but we don't have that many like really young and more youthful male characters. Although I liked August. I was kind of partial to August, so I don't know.
Oh yeah, August is awesome. Why do the men that we love on the show either end up dying or turn into wood? It's not fair.
Well, shall we make our poll question this week about August's fate? Is he still a wooden boy? Is he human again? Shall we do that? Do you want to make a poll question?
Yeah, really
August?
Like
yeah, sounds like a plan. I want August back.
Yeah, so our poll question this week will be about August. What do you think happened to him? Is he still a wooden man? Did he become human again? Or is his fate just unknown and will be unknown indefinitely? And we'll put that poll question up in with our podcast when we put it up. So please make sure you guys stop by and place your vote so we know what everyone's thinking before the start of series two. So now we're going to get into our listener feedback. So our first listener feedback is from Charlie, and it says, I wanted to ask about Mr. Gold and how I know we don't know his first name in Storybrooke because it relates to the original Rumpelstiltskin story of the mother who had to guess his first name in order to save her baby. But I was wondering if we would ever discover his first name, maybe when Balefire appears, and if this may contribute to his story. I'll be honest, I never thought about the fact that we didn't know his first name. But it's a great point.
Me neither.
It is an absolutely great point. Everyone always calls him Mr. Gold. And does it relate to Rumpelstiltskin myth? I think it absolutely does. I think that's a great point, a great catch. Because again, I never really thought about it. And it'll be interesting to see because Balefire would actually know, or Bay would know his real name. So I think it'll be really interesting to see kind of how that weaves into the tale and the lore of Rumpelstiltskin as we know it in Storybrooke.
Yeah, and I think if we've learned anything from season one, it's that the creators of this show have do very little, if anything, on accident. So I would definitely say this is going to contribute to his story.
That definitely like goes to show like first names are really important in the show. Like Dr. Whale, like maybe his first name is going to also be like, as soon as we hear his first name, we're going to be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So, like, that makes sense.
We don't know his first name either, do we?
No,
nope.
We have no idea.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, even Mary, you're right. Like, even Mary Margaret, after she has, like, a one-night stand with him, is still referencing him as Dr. Whale. I mean, I think usually after you sleep with somebody, you don't reference them, like, as doctor or, like, Mrs. Like, even if it's a regrettable one-night stand, you still refer to them by first name. So that's a good point.
Very interesting. Tariq, do you want to do the next one?
So we have Cynthia, who said, I think you may be onto something with the whole Bell equals Tinkerbell theory. Do you think maybe Captain Hook or Smee are in league with Regina, and that's how Belle got kidnapped or locked up to begin with? Maybe all these new scenes they're shooting with the kidnapping will be flashbacks. And about Bay being Jack, from Jack and Beanstalk, didn't he use a bean to get into the world with no magic? Maybe he got into the world and went through Jack and the Beanstalk storyline, where he traded for the magic beans to try and get back to Fairytale Land, where his dad was. That's actually a really good theory.
I love that theory, and it all ties into our idea of more levels of magic and where do you go and are there other kingdoms and how do they intertwine. I think that's an awesome theory.
Yeah, as soon as those beings were brought up in the finale, or not the finale, whatever episode it was where we find out that how Rumpelstiltskin lost Bay, I think that's got to be a reference to Jack and the Beanstalk. Like, how could it not be?
Yeah, it would be really hard to try and play that off as a different fairy tale, considering it's so obviously Jack and the Beanstalk, and we clearly have a giant coming in, and so I think it all connects in some way, so it'll be really interesting to see how they put their own twist on it, because I think even though some of the things feel a little bit obvious for when we're watching them, they always put this twist on it that makes them incredibly different, and how do they make them connect to the story as a whole.
Our last bit of feedback is from TheaterBoy1, and he says, this is going off of the theory that Henry is Peter Pan. You know how in the Peter Pan story, Wendy's father is Captain Hook? What if it is Peter's father that is Captain Hook, making Henry's father and Emma's one-night stand Captain Hook? We know that Mr. Gold was fully aware of the curse, as was the Mad Hatter. What if the Hook/Storybrooke counterpart was as well, and Emma ran into him on a dark night? Just a theory of mine. If Rumpel's boy isn't Henry's father, but really Jack of Jack and the Beanstalk, a theory I really like that you brought up, then I think it fits. Whether Henry is Peter or not, Captain Hook being Peter's father would be cool. Wow, more good theory there. It's a lot in there to try to like wrap my brain around. What do you guys think of it?
I think it's definitely an interesting theory, especially seeing that Captain Hook is going to be really young, and it's going to be really weird because, I don't know, I feel like playing into that, like seeing Emma get with the, I don't know what age they're going to make him, but he doesn't, does he look around Emma's age? Yeah?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, you're right. Like in mythology, or when you think of Peter Pan, like, you think of Captain Hook as being, I don't want to say, like, really old, but, like, you think about him being, like, in his 50s or so, at least, versus, like, such a differentiation between everybody else. Yeah. So, that's a very good question.
Like, yeah, it's weird, because I'm trying to imagine Emma, like, getting with and being in this relationship with this guy that has no right hand, or no left hand.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think it'll be a really interesting thing. And there's so many, like I said before, there's so many ways to make these characters and these storylines weave into each other and connect. I see how they do it. I'm so excited for season 2 to see how these characters fit and connect with the characters and storylines we already have.
And I know you guys talked about this before, but if they're bringing in Captain Hook, and Captain Hook is obviously really young, does that mean that they're going to play, like, it starts a chain reaction in my mind. Does that mean that Peter Pan is probably going to be, like, a legitimate boy, maybe at, like, Henry's age, if not Henry, from this theory? And then does that mean that they're going through the age line different? Like, all these fairy tale characters actually seem to be an appropriate age, except for, like, I was thinking about when they bring Aladdin and Jasmine, and I know this might be just a huge rant, and feel free to cut me off, but that storyline, all the stories of Aladdin, or like Aladdin's like 15, 16, and then I'm like thinking about how many more teenagers and young kids are they going to bring into Storybrooke to play the part of fairy tale characters?
It is, you're right. It just messes with timelines and how old are you and what, yeah. It's interesting how they're going to do it. You know what? I just sort of had a quick theory, too. Like, I was just saying a second ago, would they do, like, a love quadrangle rather than a love triangle? Well, they totally could do that, like, with Captain Hook and Emma, and then maybe somebody else. Like, that could be part of where they're going with all of this, making all these characters connecting with different people on different levels, like, multiple times over. And it's all about who do you choose and where is true love. I think that's what makes this so interesting.
So I guess that kind of wraps up our podcast today. And just if you want to add to the conversation, you want to you give us some theories or your thoughts on different topics, please make sure you can contact us through our email, which is onceable, O-N-C-E-A-B-L-E at hyperbole.com. You can tweet us at Once Upon News, and you can always leave comments in the comment sections of any of the Once Upon a Time posts. We're always checking those out to see what you guys think and what your theories are. So please feel free to send us your comments and thoughts. And our next podcast will actually be the podcast for the season one opening episode. Or season two. Oh, my goodness. Our next podcast will actually be for the season two opening episode, which is really exciting. I can't wait to see it.
Yay!
Oh, and real quick, don't forget to also go on the forums. Yay! Because there's actually... there's a lot of discussion happening on the forums, so...
And Tariq is actually one of the people who started the forums, which is awesome. And there's all kinds of crazy talk on the forums, which is fantastic, especially in Once Upon a Time. And that's a definite place where you guys can go discuss spoilers, because we're sure to start getting some of those, and all kinds of really fun things, and all of your theories. And we do check there as well for information. Okay, so thank you guys for joining me. I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Tariq.
And I'm Karen.
Okay, thanks so much for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.